Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live this afternoon taking your calls, 410-662-8780. Toll free, 866-661-9309. Or email questions or recipes, ideas, foremanwolf@wypr.org. And I know one thing we have coming up in this segment, I expect, is we have one of the orchards that we work with, Werner. We hope and expect to have Doug Werner on the phone to just ask him a little bit about what it's like from the other perspective, because with a topic as as gigantic as fruit, he's probably the biggest producer that I know as far as range of what they put out.
And it'll be interesting to hear what he says about the season and how it's going for him as well.
I mean, that's the biggest thing I've noticed. You know, you like every year you see different product, you see different characteristics on the product, and I think people don't have recognition or consideration about when there's frost at flowering for apricots this year, all of a sudden there are no apricots, or the crop is tiny in this part of the country. And, you know, that is one little example.
And
this year they're terrific apricots, and there's a giant crop.
Which is so exciting. Yeah, that's so great. I mean, I know personally, I have three peach trees that I planted in my yard 3 years ago, and they were pretty big when I planted them, and they started to bear fruit the first year that I planted them. And then 2 years ago when we had those back-to-back really bad storms, or had a really serious winter. I know I'm not a farmer. I just have three peach trees, but I know that those trees did not bear any fruit that next season. So I can't imagine.
They bore a lot of fruit this year, and then you have a lot of fat birds in your yard.
No, I have a lot of fat squirrels in my yard. Unfortunately, I ate about two of those peaches out of 300 or so that were on my three trees. Yeah, those squirrels are.
Let's take another call from Jane in Baltimore. She has a recipe for us. How are you, Jane?
I'm fine. Hi, Jane. You guys?
Good,
so
thank
nice
you.
So nice to hear you on the radio on this sunny Sunday.
Thank you.
Beautiful
it's
day.
A beautiful day.
I have a recipe I suspect I may have given you before called Fresh Stone Fruit Chutney.
Okay.
I get my fruit from the farmer's market in Waverly, and I prefer yellow peaches and yellow nectarine. The recipe calls for peaches, nectarine, and thinly sliced. It also calls for ripe apricots, but I prefer the plums. A more sour type of plum is what I prefer. And it also calls for cherries, but I prefer dried cherries to give the recipe some body. And slice them somewhat thin. It calls for too much sugar. I mean, after all of those sweet fruits, you really don't need as much sugar as it calls for. White balsamic vinegar, and here's the best, garam masala.
All right.
You mix it all together.
There you go.
Let it macerate, chill it. And there are so many uses.
I'm sure.
Spread it on fresh goat cheese.
That sounds good.
On baguette toast. Stir it into softened vanilla ice cream. Make a yogurt parfait. Grilled cheese sandwiches with brioche, brie, and chutney. Grilled lamb chops that have been marinated in olive oil and minced garlic and rosemary, and it just goes on and on.
That's great,
Jane.
That's,
it sounds like you
nice
have
contribution.
A ubiquitously happy product that you sorted out.
And, your family Thanks. Probably loves you for that. Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you for sharing the recipe. It's a funny thing. There's a certain that. When there are people who, like, this is the time of the year to make all of preserves and conserves
exactly.
and chutneys. And
get yourself all set up for wintertime so you have some happiness in a jar.
For goodness sake, if you're going to make preserves, make sure that you're reading guidelines so you make them safely.
Exactly.
That's a very, very, very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to preserve something or, conserve something and put it in your refrigerator. It's another thing to put it on a shelf and expect it to be there and be safe. So that's just...
Yep.
So safety first, right, Chef?
Absolutely.
So why don't we take, we have Doug Werner on the line from Werner's Orchard up in Ortana, Pennsylvania, if I'm correct.
Hey, Doug, yes. How are you doing?
Doug, you there?
Okay, yes.
So how was market this morning?
Oh, it was extremely busy. I think I'm taking about 20 crates of peaches home out of 150 crates.
There you go.
That's
great.
That's pretty good.
So, We have every variety you can think of, and we have the white and yellow fleshed peach and nectarine, and four different kinds of plums today. The plots, which is a cross between a plum and an apricot, are going to be coming in here in August, so everybody loves those pretty good.
So, Doug, back up 1 second, and so take us a couple of seconds through what your calendar is of the fruit that you produce.
We have the strawberries and apples when we first come down to market here in May under the bridge, and then we gradually move into the sweet cherries and sour cherries and all that. So they're all out of season right now. So we're doing the plums and apricots and peaches. So and then we'll be in August more peach, then your Honeycrisp apples, your Gala. And all your early summer apples will be here as well.
Because you guys are already into ginger golds a little early this year, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I was surprised to see those.
I blame all the fruit being so mature so fast from the global warming. I think this year everything is at least 3 weeks ahead of time.
Is it 3 weeks ahead of normal or 3 weeks ahead of the last 2 years where the winters were tougher?
Well, we've had more rain and everything, so this year that also helped move all the fruit and everything, but centered harvest.
I know sometimes the weather that happens at flowering for the different trees will kill an entire season for you, right?
Excuse me, could you repeat that a little louder?
Sorry about that. I said that at flowering time for the various trees, say apricots or for nectarines or pears or something, if you have frost at the wrong time, your season is dead, right?
Yeah, if, I mean, we're fine as long as it's, you know, if it wants to be cold, you have a nice cold breeze blowing, you'll be fine. But if the air stands still when it's in the 20-degree section, you'll be wiped out. You won't have anything. Plus, we had a lot of below zero temperatures in February. And that hurt our blackberries, for example. But the stone fruits and apples, they were able to make it.
But you have some blackberries coming, just beginning to come in now, right?
Yeah, we just started having some today.
And then, so take me forward. You got pluots coming in August. What else is coming in August, September?
The Honeycrisp apple and the Gala and early Fujis. So that's a nice wide variety along with your regular yellow white peach.
And when you get down to October, let's say.
Oh, then that'll be just straight apples, and then your apple cider, your apple butter with sugar and all that, and no sugar. It's a nice wide variety.
I've gotten some awfully good Asian pears from you before as well. When do you expect them to come?
Yeah, the Asian pears will be coming out in Labor Day, along with the Italian prune plum, which is a real popular fruit. And, it's the same thing year after year.
And you guys sometimes have some grapes down there as well, don't you?
Yes, we do have the Concord and the pink Pennsylvania table grape, which is a real sweet one. I had to put cheesecloth across all the grapes already because the birds have noticed they're starting to mature too.
That is really early for the grapes.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful weather for grapes.
So do you think, do you have a favorite? Do you have one thing you look forward to personally every year the most as far as the fruit that comes in?
I like the Honeycrisp apples. I think they're the sweetest of all the varieties.
Yeah, that's a family favorite of ours, too. We can't wait for Honeycrisps.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, this year they'll be pretty sweet.
Sounds good.
And so where around Baltimore can folks find you at markets, and where can they find the farm?
Wednesday we're over at the Pimlico Racetrack. Thursday we're over at the Towson Farmers Market. And Sunday we're down here at the City Market. Saturdays we go over to Leesburg, Virginia, and we do really well over there.
That's great.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good day.
To give our listeners a little lesson. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a good growing season. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's nice.
He also, it seems like every year, the fruit that is my favorite somehow, because he has such a broad variety of things he's doing, is coming out of his is coming out of his orchard somewhere. The white nectarines this year are just spectacular.
That's great. I love those
And that's
things.
Something that that's so far this
it's
year
like
that's been my
nectar
favorite.
Nectar of the gods.
So let's take a call from Joanne in Centerville.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. There's a recipe in the Joy of Cooking cookbook that I've had for 50 years, so they're that old. But it's called Apple Peach or Plum Cake Cockaigne, C-O-C-K-A-I-G-N-E. I don't know how to pronounce that. But it comes out very much like the Baltimore Peach Cake.
That's great. That's good information. Thanks.
So you can try it, and it's very good.
There
so
you
people
go.
Can look
Thanks,
that up John. In the Joy of Cooking.
Right. That's,
okay. Thanks
thank
a lot
so
for
much.
The call.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Let's take one more peach cake call from Tracy in Baltimore. Tracy, go ahead.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Chef and Tony. All right, so I have two things for you. I'll tell you that one of the last standing bakeries, I think, where you can get peach cake is Hone's in Highlandtown.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, we had two votes for Hone's so
yeah,
far today.
I'm going to have to head over there.
There's not very many of those kind of old school bakeries left. So I have a recipe that I actually found in the Wall Street Journal. So we do, you know, liberal radio and conservative newspapers sometimes. But this one is interesting. It's like a combination of fruit with like a panzanella. And so it's a tomato, stone fruit, and mozzarella salad. So you take peaches and plums and then heirloom tomatoes and then also some fresh mozzarella. With and when you kind of toss that and you make a vinaigrette, they use honey in it. I don't usually put that in there, but you can use.
You wouldn't think you'd
nectarines.
Need that with peaches.
And then you
yeah.
toss it, but then you also make your own croutons. You know, like out of a baguette,
right.
And you just kind of toss it all together. Throw in some basil at the end. It's amazing. Like you could have just that for dinner.
Yeah, I could eat that right now, Tracy. That sounds good.
Thanks a lot, Tracy.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Have a good day.
Yeah. I love recipes where tomatoes and peaches land together.
I agree.
I think I made a salad for you once upon a time that was heirloom tomatoes and a couple of varieties of watermelons.
Mm-hmm.
And watermelons are coming right now.
Oh,
and
I can't
very
wait.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. One
Canaries are nice. Charente melons are coming in. This is as good of a summer. I mean, maybe it's silly just to have a show about fruit, but, I mean, after 20 years of trying to buy superior fruit, this is the year where I've seen the best stuff. So
that's exciting. Well, you know, one of the great things with melon, cut the top off, scoop the seeds out, cut out a decent amount of the top so that you can actually get some of the meat and dice it from that top. Pull the seeds out, put the fruit back in, and you can season it or toss it with something, lime juice, a little sugar, probably totally unnecessary.
I thought you were going to tell me you're going to pour tequila in there or something.
Oh, well, you could, but I wouldn't. yeah, the big tequila lover that I'm not.
Sunday fun
right,
day, Chef.
Right? Well, okay, then so toss it in some champagne. But yeah, a little bit of fruit and maybe even just a touch of lavender, that you just sit in there with it, that you can pull back out a stem of lavender or a little bit of fresh thyme in there or mint and let it sit for a couple of hours out of the refrigerator, because I'll tell you what, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but when you start working with cantaloupe, especially, it really smells, and it's sort of an odd, not positive smell. I don't know what it is. It's great on its own, but once it starts mixing with other things in your refrigerator, you're going to have a problem. So just let it sit
it's
out and kind
aromatic,
of let it macerate a little bit.
Say.
It is aromatic. And but it would be fun to have something like that for the family. And strawberries, if you can get good strawberries. Obviously, they're not local, but you can still find some nice strawberries. It might be nice mix in.
And that's one of the things that usually there's something that we've just missed in market. You just go further north for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
that's
true. Well, that's a cool thing about Werner being in Pennsylvania, too. I mean, he's got to be a little bit colder where he is than where we are.
Yeah, no, they're completely, it's a totally remarkable site up there, too.
Uh-huh. It is. It's a pretty farm. Beautiful farm.
Cool to have him on. So you can reach us with calls, 410-662-8780. Toll-free is 866-661-9309. Or for emails, it's formerwolf@wypr.org. All right, so let me hit you up for the white nectarine ice cream recipe.
Okay.
Making fresh fruit ice cream should be a
You can make
a great summertime thing.
Well, you can make it two different ways. Do you want pieces of fruit in? And I wouldn't allow them to be too large. I would probably do a small dice if I was going to allow there to be fresh fruit, or I would puree the fruit.
How ripe do you want the nectarines?
I want them to be very ripe. I want them to taste as good as they can possibly taste. And I do like the juice. So you just have to compensate with your egg because you're going to have a little bit of a higher water content. Now, you have to understand that when I make ice cream, I use all cream. And, you know, it's up
to
you.
No one is shocked by that who's listening to this program.
It's up to you. If you want to use half and half and cream, you can. But my recipe is 8 yolks, egg yolks, 1 cup of sugar, 1 quart of cream. And if you want to use vanilla extract, use something very good, about a teaspoon. But I use vanilla beans. So what I would do is, if you're using a vanilla bean, is you bring the cream up in a double boiler up to where it's warm, and you have the half of vanilla bean in this is fine. So you've split your vanilla bean and you've let it steep in the heavy cream while it's coming up to temperature. And then you're going to crack your eggs, have your yolks in a bowl. Make sure that your eggs are in good condition, that they're as fresh as possible. If they're local, fantastic. The richer the yolk, the brighter or more deep colored the yolk is, the better your ice cream is going to be. And whisk those. Make sure, as I said, make sure they're in good condition. Obviously, no shell. And then you make a liaison, so you're just very quickly whisking in the egg yolks into the warm cream with the vanilla pod in there. Add the sugar, watch your sugar content. You know, I said a cup of sugar, but that's a base recipe. And with something that's very sweet, you could probably even knock it down to half a cup of sugar. You could do a combination of white and brown sugar, which I would highly suggest. I'm in love with brown sugar and peaches. You could use all brown sugar instead of white sugar. And you could also, of course, put honey in if you prefer honey to your sugar. So those are sort of ways you could adapt the recipe. And then I would say for that amount, for a quart of cream, I would probably do 12 peaches. I would peel them and puree them in the blender, take them off, obviously off the pit, and put them in the blender and add that to your base. And I would go ahead and add one more yolk for this white nectarine recipe.
It's a recipe for ice cream with fruit, mm-hmm. right? With so stone fruits.
So. That is a traditional way of making an ice cream mix. I actually make my ice cream mix differently because I like almost a mousse-like texture in my ice cream. So I'm going to tell you that method as well, which is the 8 yolks in the blender, 8 yolks in the mixer with a cup of sugar or whatever quantity of sugar you're putting in. Whip the heck out of that. So it's going to be on the mixer on high for probably 4 or 5 minutes. And then all you have to do is bring your cream up to a boil, add your liquid, add everything else that you're adding, and gently, and do this carefully, on low speed. That mixer has to be on low speed now. You gently pour in that cream. And then you will need to cool it down, and then you freeze it. That makes a very light textured ice cream.
So you're hiding some of the pure cream factor with...
I'm not hiding anything.
The velvety texture.
Nothing at all. It's all out there. Oh, boy.
Well, we're live today on Formal Wolf on Food and Wine, and you can call us 410-662-8780. We're going to take a quick break. Debbie in Baltimore, hopefully will be patient, has a good question for us for after the break. On WIPR.